Good evening. It's Al and Margie. I feel like this is the first time I'm ever doing this. It's been so long since I've... Tonight we're going to talk about the source of Paul's gospel. Whenever I was looking over, whenever I first got the book of the different subjects we were going to be talking about, and I saw the book of Galatians, I love the book of Galatians. We kind of see the difference between law and grace, but not only that. To me, Paul's tone in this book is exactly how he would write if he was writing to me. He kind of tears into these guys at the Church of Galatia, I just kind of feel like that would be me. It's funny that Richard said last week that Caesar said that the Galatians were fickle, because I would pretty well say that's me too. So, as I'm always reading this, I just can't help but kind of smile, because I really think if Paul wrote me a letter, this would be how the tone would be. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 1. Last week, we looked at chapter 1, verses 6 to 9, and we saw that people were coming behind Paul and preaching a different gospel, whether it be, well, yeah, you're saved by grace, but now you got to be circumcised or you have to obey the law. Paul kind of lays that all to rest in the verses that we looked at last week, and pretty much says any other gospel than what he taught is not the gospel. So we're going to just kind of go over verses 6 through 9 again, just to kind of catch us up here. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ, unto another, which is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. We kind of have that problem today in Christian as a whole, the same things that Paul was dealing with, teaching, well, you can be saved completely by grace, but then your salvation is never really for sure. And that's the church that I was saved in, that's what we were taught. You're saved by grace, but then if you fall out of line, then your salvation isn't really secure till you die. But then you also have people that say, well, it's not only grace, you have to do grace plus this to be saved, and you can throw any religious ceremony or anything like that in that. But other than believing Christ died for our sins, there's nothing else to be done. Flip over to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians 2:20 and 21. Galatians 2:20 is probably one of my favorite verses. Whenever me and Margie were married, we had a groom's cake, and this was the verse that I had put on my cake. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So if I could do anything on my own to possibly be saved or become righteous, then Paul says there was no reason for Christ to have to die. And of course, we know it would be impossible for us to save ourselves, even if that was required of us. So why do people today believe the grace plus works message? Well, it stems, first of all, from the failure to acknowledge the distinct ministry of the Apostle Paul, which leads to the other part of failure to rightly divide the word of truth. A lot of people try to make the Gospels that's taught by the four, and the four Gospels by the 12, in the early part of the book of Acts, as the same thing that Paul teaches. The problem is, they aren't the same Gospel. The Gospel of the Kingdom and the Gospel of the Grace of God are not the same Gospel. The Gospel of the Kingdom finds its roots actually back in the Old Testament to the time of David. If you would, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 6. Wait, 2 Samuel chapter 7. Let's do that. 1 Samuel, yeah, 2 Samuel chapter 7. We're going to look at verse 16. speaking to David, we read, "In thine and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever and ever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." Now flip over to 1 Chronicles chapter 17. Verses 11 to 14. "And it shall come to pass, when thy days be expired, that thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And I will not take back my mercy away from him, as I took it from him that was before thee. But I will settle him in mine house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forevermore." One more verse, Psalm 89. Psalm 89, verses 34 to 37. "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the things that has gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven." So we see that the gospel of the kingdom actually finds its place in prophecy. But in the four gospels, we actually see for the first time that the proclamation of the kingdom being at hand. John the Baptist, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the 12 preached many things, but the theme of all of them was the kingdom of heaven is at hand. First, we'll just see real quick John the Baptist. Turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. "In those days, came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." We also see the Lord Jesus Christ teach this. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4, 17. "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." We also see the 12 teach this. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10, 5 to 7. "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preaching, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand." So they weren't teaching about the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, they didn't even understand that. Flip over to Luke chapter 18. Luke 18, 31 to 34. "And then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. And though they, in the four Gospels, they're preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand, we don't actually see the offer of the kingdom till the early part of the book of Acts. Go ahead and flip over to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verses 18 to 20. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was preached unto you. So we see Peter, after Christ was resurrected and ascended, he's preaching, if the nation of Israel will repent now, then God will send Christ back, and the prophetic line will continue on and put the eventual establishment of the kingdom. But we know that Israel rejected this. They killed Stephen. So God temporarily set aside Israel and raised up the Apostle Paul. And what he taught was a mystery. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3, 1 to 9. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in the gospel, in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things in Christ Jesus. So Paul says here that he was taught by revelation from the Lord. And that's what he's going to be declaring in our study tonight, that his revelation came from God and not man. So now let's flip back to Galatians chapter 1. It's kind of funny because whenever I originally sat down to start working on this lesson, I thought, well, we're not hitting Galatians chapter 2, so I'm going to go ahead and go through chapter 2 too. And then I started on this, and I told Margie, I'm not going to be able to finish all this. And she just kind of laughed and said, well, Pastor will be proud if you can't finish. So I kind of thinned it out, and we're going to go through the verses. But I did my lesson a little differently. Typically, I type it so I know about what I need, but I wrote it by hand because I hate typing. So we could be done in 15 minutes. We could be done in an hour. So we'll see where we go from here. Galatians 1, verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So Paul starts off with the question, am I telling you this to try to persuade God that I'm right, or am I trying to persuade you that God's right? And of course, we know the answer to that. But when he says, if I yet please men, I should not be a servant of Christ, that's really a question today that we should ask ourselves whenever, with anything we do. In the church in general, in all reality, if you turn on the TV these days, very few preachers on TV ever mention Christ, really. I mean, pretty much what their message is what can God do for me today? You know, what is he going to give me? How much money is he going to give me? How much money should I send you so God will bless me? And we've strayed from that. And even us as just human beings ourselves, we have to ask our motives sometimes. Are we doing what we're doing for God, or are we doing what we're doing for man? And whenever I was talking to Margie about this, she said, in reality, we have to ask ourselves, are we doing it for myself? Because it's not necessarily we're trying to please men, we're trying to please me. Verses 11 and 12. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So Paul kind of begins to lay out now where he did and did not receive the gospel that he preached. We know that it was not after man. He plainly says that. And the gospel he preached was new and different from the gospel of the kingdom that we talked about earlier. He refers to the gospel he preached as my gospel three separate times. Romans 2:16, Romans 16:25, and 2 Timothy 2:8. Paul got his gospel directly from the Lord Jesus Christ and not by man. If you look back at verse 1, Paul writes and says that he is an apostle, not of men, neither by man. And now here on verse 12, he says of his message, I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. So his apostleship and his message both came from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 13 and 14. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. So here the Apostle Paul kind of lays out three different proofs or three different verifications that why his message and his apostleship did not come from man. The first proof was that I persecuted the church. In verse 13, he says, well, I persecuted the church. And it was well known at that time that Saul was the chief persecutor of the church. In Acts 9:26, when Paul went to Jerusalem to join some of the disciples, it says that they were all afraid and believed not that he was a disciple. At the beginning of Acts 9, he's headed for Damascus to arrest any believers he found and bring them to Jerusalem. On the way there, we know he met the risen and ascended Lord Jesus Christ, and that changed things. So instead of arresting people at Damascus, he preached Christ in the synagogues. He went to persecute and ended up becoming the persecuted when the Jews took counsel to kill him. He's saying, I did all this not because of man, but because the Lord Jesus Christ called me to be an apostle. Proof two. I profited in the Jews' religion. In 1:14, we read, and I profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation. So Paul was really all that as far as being an apostle goes. If you would, flip over to Philippians chapter 3. And we'll start with verse 4. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. So in the Jewish community, Paul was what we would say a rock star today. Everybody wanted to be like Paul. But Paul said to those who questioned if God called him to be an apostle of Christ, you know, I was honored, I was respected, I was one of the highest held people in the Jewish community. I became wealthy because of the Jews and their religion. Why would I leave the Jewish religion? Why would I follow the Christ who had been rejected by the Jews if it wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ himself that called me to be an apostle? Proof three, being more exceedingly zealous. In verse 14, we read, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. So we see that Paul was sincere in what he was doing, and he thought what he was doing was right. And If you've ever tried to change somebody's mind who really believes in what they're doing, it's not an easy task. So that would have made it almost impossible for just a simple man to reach Saul, who is said he was making havoc of the church and he was laying it to waste. So we see that Paul was a special apostle, separate from the 12, raised up to bring in the dispensation of the grace of God and proclaim the gospel of grace, the grace of God. Verses 15 to 20. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. And I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. In the book of Revelation, John begins writing with the revelation of Jesus Christ. But Paul here says it pleased God to reveal his son in me. While John is the revelation given to John is Christ the conqueror and the mighty warrior and things of that nature, we see Paul, the way he's revealed through Paul, is grace and mercy, the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of mercy of Christ. So Paul basically is writing about the revelation of Christ in grace. We're going to move on to verses 21 to 24. Does anybody have anything thus far to add? All right. Okay, moving to verses 21 to 24. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. And they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Back in verse 18, Paul said that he abode with Peter 15 days. Now here he says that he was unknown by face to the churches of Judea. Why was his stay with Peter so short? And why didn't any of the churches in Judea, why did he not visit any of the churches in Judea? There's two reasons. The first one, flip over to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verses 29 and 30. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him to Sisera, and sent him forth to Tarsus. So we see that part of the reason was because of men. They were plotting to kill him. But God also writes, Paul also talks about how God played a part in it, written by Luke, of course, but it's Paul's account of all the things we just read in Acts. But flip over to Acts chapter 22. Chapter 22:17-21. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. So we see that God also, as well as man, was the reason Paul left Jerusalem. But it was important, really, for the Apostle Paul to distance himself from the 12, from the influence of the 12. And God clearly showed that Paul's ministry was to be separate and distinct from that of the 12. So we see his apostleship and his message was not from man, but the risen and ascended Lord Jesus Christ. In Galatians 1:23-24, it says that Paul had been unknown to the churches of Judea, but it says that they had heard that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. So we've already looked at proof after proof that his message was not the same as that of the 12 and what they had been preaching. But the believers in Judea were saying he preached the faith which he once destroyed. So was Paul preaching the same message after all? We've seen in chapters 1 and 2 that he spends a majority of the time here in Galatians to prove his message was different. But that doesn't mean that the 12 had been teaching something that wasn't true. They preached that Christ was the prophesied king, and after his resurrection, that he had risen from the dead. This was the message that Paul had once denied, as well as persecuted those that believed it. So Paul confirmed that Peter and the 12, what they had been teaching. But in that sense, he preached the faith that he once destroyed. Although he confirmed that message, never once do we find him preaching the good news of the kingdom, that the kingdom was about to be established. And he never, like Peter, offered the kingdom and the return of Christ if the Jews would repent. So what did he offer, or what was his message? Paul was offering salvation by grace through faith, apart from works. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 2. Two verses we all probably know. And if I, standing up here, if I tried to do it without actually looking at it, I wouldn't be able to, because I'd forget where I'm nervous. I do that quite often. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So he talks about salvation by grace through faith, but faith in what? Flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. It's that simple. No circumcision involved, no splashing in water, no special meal that has to be taken in order to be saved. Simply by believing that Christ died for our sins and rose again the third day. And that's what we need to be preaching today, not the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but that Christ died for your sins, he died for my sins, according to the Scriptures, and rose again the third day. And that's actually all my lesson, so I got done early still. Whenever I did this for Margie, and it took me over 30 minutes, so I must just talk really fast whenever I'm nervous. But,
so why were they baptized?
I don't know for sure. But, I mean, we're never told that God actually commanded Paul to baptize anybody.
Right. I mean, before that, under Peter's ministry.
I'm sure it had something to do with the the nation of priests, and that was part of the ceremonial washings,
right,
to for them to be prepared to be the nation of priests, they had to take on priestly.
And that's exactly how I understand it too. But did baptism save them?
Now that's a good question, and it's going to be dependent on who you ask, because it does say repent and be baptized.
There's confusion on this issue. I bring it up for a purpose, because there's confusion on this issue even in our fellowship of churches.
Right.
We're starting to see a falling away of the grace message, where Dennis Smith was just run out of the church in Sheridan, Arkansas, because he stood his ground that you, everybody, all mankind, for all the history of mankind, has been saved by God's grace alone. Period. Nobody can now or has ever been able to do anything to secure their salvation. But he was run out of that church because there's a faction in that church now that believes that they were saved by their baptism. And that is not true.
Yeah,
everybody has always been saved by grace. But it was their action of faith that drove them to follow God's word to be baptized.
Right.
And the keeping of the law was meant to be the same way. The law never saved anybody. But it was their action of faith that was to drive them to keep God's word of keeping the law.
That's the way I understand it. I understand it. The way I heard it is, if God commands you to be baptized, then faith will, you will be baptized because of your faith.
Right. And the scripture does say, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. But if they didn't believe, guess what? Not going to be baptized.
Right.
You know, there's no point, because they won't have the action of faith to follow through.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not baptism that saved. Never has been. I just wanted to bring that up.
Sounds reasonable to me.
Sorry for everyone.
I've always thought of that too, that verse. It's like saying, if you put your shoes on and tie them, you'll have shoes on your feet. The tying them isn't what makes them be on your feet, although it's something else to do with the shoe, right? And he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Yeah, but guess who else? He who believes and isn't baptized is also saved. It's a true statement either way you say it.
Anything else? I think I had something that I was wanting to ask you. I hope I don't put you on the spot.
Yeah, it's all right.
I figured that. I'm trying to remember if it... should have wrote it down, because I was wanting to... I think it might be in Galatians 2. Well, I don't know if it's in Galatians 2. I know it's in Galatians where he talks about the gospel. Oh yeah, here it is. In verse 7 of Galatians 2, but contrarywise, that they saw the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto me, and the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Just in kind of looking over some things, there seems to be some disagreement about what this is actually talking about. Some people think that it means the gospel of the circumcision, or unto the circumcision, or the Jews, but some people say it's got more to do with Abraham, and back then it's actually a gospel that started back at Abraham, and the uncircumcision was a gospel that started before Abraham was Abraham, when he was Abram. Have you ever read anything about that?
I can see that. I've never heard that before.
You see, I know that Stamm and Baker both...
Because in Romans, Paul actually goes back to Abraham being saved before the rite of circumcision was given, so that it's the gospel of uncircumcision.
Well,
I can see that. I'm not sure it's worth arguing.
No, I was interested in your thoughts.
It still works out the same, that it's still the gospel to the circumcision.
Right.
Whether it's, I was trying to reason it out, but it still comes out the same, that Peter and the 12 were sent to minister to the Jews, whereas Paul was sent to minister to the Gentiles. And so they were preaching Messiah, and Christ is the Messiah, but even so, they were still keeping the law. So that didn't change for them until the kingdom message was completely set aside, because the law of Moses never was given to the Gentiles. It was never for their practice. And so when Paul was preaching to the gospel of the uncircumcision to the Gentiles, he wasn't preaching the keeping of the law to the Gentiles. And that's what upset the Jews. That's why they hounded Paul, because they believed that the Gentiles should also be keeping the law. Paul made it clear also there in Romans that keeping the law didn't bring righteousness.
Mm.
But he also, I think, he was going to take that vow to, he wasn't saying that the Jews shouldn't keep the law, because that was still to them up until that point, until the close of the book of Acts. He was just saying that keeping of the law didn't bring righteousness. But then when you see after the close of the book of Acts, and Israel has completely been set aside, you know, the law is completely off the table.
Mm-hmm.
There's no merit in it anymore at all.
I don't know if we got done earlier, but whenever I skipped a lot of verses, that really whenever Paul talks about how he went and saw Peter for 15 days, it's really interesting. Like whenever I was preparing for it, when you go back to the book of Acts and kind of study what's happening at the same time that Paul's talking about it, it was just a very interesting study too. Maybe for another time. Like I said, if I had went over all the stuff that I wanted to, it would have been a couple of lessons at least. So.
What stands up to me in this section is that zeal, you know, there's another place in the Bible that talks about people having zeal but not acquiring knowledge. You know, having enthusiasm and a passion for something, if you don't have the truth to go along with it, you're really just setting yourself up for a huge fall. And so it just emphasizes the importance of having your ideas or your ambitions rooted in truth.
And I think that's what Saul, you know, when he was still Saul, and he was talking about being zealous, it was more in the traditions than it was in the actual word of God, which was typical for a Pharisee, especially if you look at the time of Christ. They were more interested in traditions than they were the actual word of God. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father God, I'm just so thankful, Lord, for this chance that we had to come together and study your word. And we are thankful, God, that you have so plainly put Paul's apostleship and his ministry, then that he was set aside for a special purpose in this age of grace. And we're just so thankful, God, that we can see that just from looking at the scriptures. And we do pray, God, that we'll share that with others and share the message of salvation by grace through faith, just simply by trusting in Christ and that he died for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day. We just pray, God, for those who are traveling, you'll give them safety and safe travels. And we do lift up all those who are mentioned in the prayer list. For just pray, God, that you'll be with them and give them whatever they're needing in this time of trouble. We just pray, God, that you'll be with us as we travel home. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you.